You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward. Today is Tuesday, December 17, 2019, and as we do on Tuesdays, we're taking your questions from our Sunday night Twitter question answer and answering them here on the show. Now, we're going to change it up a little bit this week. We had so many questions from Sunday night that we're going to bring you a show today with your questions and bring you a show tomorrow with your questions as well, something we haven't done since we started doing Locked On Angels. So, thank you, everyone, for your questions. If your question isn't answered today or tomorrow, keep asking those questions. We had so many that I had to paraphrase some. If your question doesn't make the show, it doesn't mean I don't like you, and it doesn't mean your question was bad. It just means that we didn't have time or space. If you want to be a part of the show and interact with us, follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally, at Taylor Blake Ward. And look for that tweet on Sunday night, 9 p.m. Pacific time, saying something along the lines of, send me all your baseball questions. I'll answer them here through midnight. Best ones make the show on Tuesday, like we're doing today and tomorrow. Also, make sure to head over to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever podcasting platform you use and download today's show, subscribe to today's show, and rate today's show. I actually, for the first time, I was talking to Derek Ciappolla of Talkin' Halos, and he showed me where the review section is on iTunes. I'd never seen that before, and a lot of you have said some very nice things about the show and myself, and I appreciate that. And if you plan on going over there and rating and saying something not so nice about me, feel free to email me at taylorblakeward@yahoo.com, and we'll see if I can help you out with something that you don't like about the show, or if you just don't like me, you know, you're not the first person. Let's get the show started, though, and get to your questions. Now, I'm going to call this first part the Hyunjin Ryu, Dallas Keuchel section of the show. And obviously, the two top free agent starters on the market remaining are Dallas Keuchel and Hyunjin Ryu. And a lot of you had a ton of questions about this. I'm actually going to paraphrase a few of these questions that essentially all equated to the same thing. And these questions come from @talk_angels, @EvoHordez, @white_jones33, @JC_Carrillo21, and @PassionyStar. And the questions, all these questions kind of equated to the same thing, which is any way the Angels can sign Keuchel and Ryu, and if not, who is more likely? Let's start with that first part about any way the Angels can sign both Keuchel and Ryu. Now, earlier in the offseason, this may have seemed like something the Angels could do. Billy Epler came out and said, we have the luxury of potentially spending $20 million a year on multiple players, two players. Now, one of those players obviously became Anthony Rendon, which was a big surprise. And I have to say this, over the offseason, I have said that I did not expect the Angels to sign Anthony Rendon by any means. I actually even think I said it last Tuesday, and he signed promptly after. But yes, this money went to Anthony Rendon. So getting both Keuchel and Ryu doesn't seem like a luxury the Angels have anymore. Now, going into the second part of that question of who is more likely to sign between these two, I'm not sure if the Angels view one as superior to the other. I think it would come down to the money in either case. Now, both of these guys are ground ball pitchers, something the Angels really like, especially now that their infield has Anthony Rendon and David Fletcher. I want to say David Eckstein. I've done that how many times on the show? David Fletcher and Drelton Simmons, a great infield, especially on that left side of the infield. So both of these guys being ground ball pitchers is definitely going to attract the Angels. I'm sure the Angels have checked in on both of these guys. They've obviously been in a lot of contact with Scott Boras lately. Both of these guys are Scott Boras clients. And I think when it comes down to who is more likely, I think it just comes down to the money, which we're going to touch on here. Actually, I'll touch on this right after the next question. But I think that when you look at the money, I think that there's one guy that's asking for a little bit more, and he's actually the older one as we go forward. I do want to move on here. This next question comes from Joey Hahn. How many wrong ways can one spell Keuchel? Joey, you have no idea, man. Next question comes from Andy Lee, @Andy with two Y's, two L's, and two E's. Now, I want to make a note to Andy that I'm taking this specific part of his trio of questions due to time and other questions that are similar. But he says, Ken Rosenthal said that Hyunjin Ryu wants at least 4 years and $80 million. Is that too much for the Angels? Also heard Boras say Keuchel was impressed after we got Rendon. Now, looking at Hyunjin Ryu, $20 million a year does seem reasonable for a pitcher of his caliber. The Angels definitely can't afford $20 million a year for a pitcher. The thing that's alarming when it comes to Ryu is he will be 33 years old on opening day next year. So committing yourself to 4 years for a pitcher that's going to be 37 years old at the end of the contract, and also looking at his track record, he has been injured a lot. And, you know, just being nice about this, missed all of 2015. He had a, you know, obviously pitched over 300 innings in 2013, 2014, 2015, missed the entire season, missed most of 2016, of course, as well. 2017, he was there. 2018, still battled through some stuff. And then last year, obviously a Cy Young candidate, finishing runner-up. But to commit yourself to someone who's already in his mid-30s and you're going to see the contract end in the late 30s, that's pretty alarming. So I don't think that $80 million is a concern. I think it's the 4 years. Teams are going to be looking at Hyunjin Ryu more on like a two-year $50 million contract. I know that's a lot of money. $25 million a year for a pitcher is a lot of money, especially one with a history of injuries. I'm not sure that a four-year deal is what anyone's going to be looking at for Hyunjin Ryu. Staying on this topic, this question comes in from Healy Bruce at Drives a Healy. Says, I'm sure potential pitching moves is a popular topic. You bet, Bruce. Says, with Keuchel and Ryu left, what are the pros and cons of one of the other or both compared to potential trade targets? Now, I'm going to save the trade targets a little bit for later in the show and tomorrow. But pros and cons for both Keuchel and Ryu is the pro is that they've been performing. And they've been performing at such a high level for quite some time. And projections don't really show that they're going to fall off next season. I think the con is that Dallas Keuchel is going to be 32 at the start of the year. Hyunjin Ryu is going to be 33 at the start of the year. And you're not going to want to pay these guys into their late 30s. So you're not going to give four-year deals like we mentioned to Hyunjin Ryu. And you're not really looking at a four-year deal to Dallas Keuchel. Another thing is these guys, a con would be that these guys don't throw over 90 all that regularly. And in baseball, now, getting outs, you know, you can get outs in all kinds of different ways. You could throw 100 miles per hour. You could throw 80 miles per hour. You could still get outs doing it either way, especially with command, which both of these guys have great command of their stuff and great off-speed offerings. But when you're not throwing 90 miles per hour and you start losing that feel for your off-speed stuff, and I'm not saying either guy is, but there's an opportunity to lose your feel for a game. And especially as you age, you start losing that feel. You start losing arm speed, so your changeup starts to fade a little bit. You start to lose that feel for your changeup. You're not throwing it at the arm speed that matches your fastball necessarily. Your slider may not snap off as much. So that's a big con. I think the biggest pro with both of these guys, especially when it comes to the Angels, is they're both ground ball pitchers. And that's something we mentioned it with Anthony Rendon, David Fletcher, and Andrelton Simmons on the left side of your infield. Having these guys, you know, just throw these sinkers in the dirt, having guys swing over top of them, and having those guys in the field to take care of you, that's a pretty solid recipe for success. I think another thing that you could say is a con, and I've said this before, I love Scott Boras. I think the reason why we dislike him so much is because he's so good at his job and does get the money for his clients, but both of these guys are Scott Boras clients, so the money may be another con. Moving on, this one from JT Wheeler at JohnThad22 says, in your humble opinion, if Keuchel and Ryu both go elsewhere, are the Angels more likely to give up a guy like Brandon Marsh because they feel pressure to get a frontline guy, or do they kick the can on that idea and try to get another back-end guy? I love that, kick the can. I think that regardless of what we see with Hyunjin Ryu and Dallas Keuchel, I think the Angels are going to add pitching. Whether that's through a trade that involves Brandon Marsh or other prospects or major league pieces, or if it is Hyunjin Ryu or Dallas Keuchel, or if they fill the back end of the rotation with guys like Alex Wood, Gio Gonzalez, Ivan Nova, Yuli Chacin, guys like that. You know, I'm just rattling off names here, but yeah, that is an option. I don't think that's a preferred option for the Angels. I think they would like to have one of these guys, such as a Keuchel or a Ryu, or go out and trade for a guy like a David Price, a Yu Darvish, a Robbie Ray, a John Gray, who we're going to touch on quite a bit in the second segment here. I think that's kind of their plan. I don't think that they're going to just kick the can, as you mentioned. I love that term, kick the can and just go with back-end options. I don't think that is going to be something the Angels are looking to. But you also have to remember, it takes two to tango, and also an agent and an owner's money. So that's four to tango in baseball. That may have been the worst segue into the next question I've ever done. That may be the worst thing I've said on this show don't go over to iTunes and rate us there for that one. Next question before we head to a break. Last one before we head to a break. This one from Omar, at Omar underscore McBuckets, says, I fully expect the Angels to go for Keuchel or Ryu through the free agent market, but after that, do you see them going for a one-year type guy or switch to the trade market? I know the top guys they're linked to are John Gray and David Price, but are there any other candidates? Now I'm going to touch on this, especially I'm going to touch on John Gray here in the second segment, and I'm going to touch on other candidates tomorrow and during our Sunday night Twitter question and answer. I'm starting to – this is why we need the break, right? Not just for the sponsors, but for me too. I do expect them to be in on both of these pitchers. No denying that. But I expect them to be – if they cannot get one of these pitchers, I think they're going to go out on the trade market and find someone to fill that number two slot. You know, I don't think they're going to find an ace. You're not going to get a Noah Syndergaard or a Garrett Cole or a who's another ace? Jacob DeGrom. You know, you're not going to just find one of those, and none of that's going to fall into your lap. But if you can find another, you know, a guy that's a true two or a mid-rotation like a Dallas Keuchel or a Matt Boyd or, as you mentioned, a John Gray, a David Price, I think that's going to be the route that the Angels go. And maybe they do fill in the back end of the rotation with a guy that I mentioned earlier, you know, Alex Wood, Gio Gonzalez, Yuli Chacin, guys like that. But I think the majority rule here is that the Angels are going to look for frontline starters, and that's kind of their focus here for the rest of the offseason. We're going to head to a short break, but before we do that, we're going to tell you about Breaking Tea. Now, Breaking Tea is a t-shirt company that ties in with the passion moments of sports. These passion moments happen with every team and every fan base, and then Breaking Tea jumps on the moment to make t-shirts that make that moment live forever. When these moments happen, we'll join in with Breaking Tea to make these t-shirts available to our listeners through www.breakingtea.com/lockedon. Now, I got to tell you guys, I just checked it out. They have a ton of new Anthony Rendon shirts. They have some Rendon Trout 2020 shirts, Tony Two Bag shirts, sweatshirts, shirts for your kids, shirts for your wives, or your husbands. I love this company. Check them out, www.breakingtea.com/lockedon, and they'll show up right there on that front page when you put that in. Be right back with more Locked On Angels right after a quick word from our sponsors. Welcome back to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward, and we're taking your questions from our Sunday night Twitter question and answer, part one of two this week. And here in the second segment, we're going to focus in on the catching market with one name in particular, and also a starting pitcher that seems to be drawing a lot of interest when it comes to the Angels. Let's start off with the catching market, and we're going to start with this one from Matthew Briggs at MB Angels Fan. Says Castro, Maldonado, or Chirinos, which one would be best based on skills and stats? Now we're talking about Jason Castro, Martin Maldonado, and Robinson Chirinos, and they're all very similar based on when you measure everything that comes together, they all are very similar. Robinson Chirinos is the oldest of the group, but you could argue he's the best hitter of that group. Martin Maldonado may be the worst hitter of this bunch, but he's the best defender. And Jason Castro kind of is in the middle there. When it comes to these three catchers, though, it seems the Angels are interested in all three. Now, they're having conversations with catchers on the free agent market. They haven't noted exactly who. We do know they have met with Martin Maldonado, though. And it seems that these three are at the top of the catching market when it comes to free agents right now. You could throw in maybe Russell Martin, Francisco Cervelli. Those are kind of guys you could add in there. But these three are kind of the primary catchers. They're at the top of the free agent market. It seems like Jason Castro and Martin Maldonado have a little bit more of an edge. As you look at their projections here, and I'm just pulling it up as we speak, Jason Castro expected to be worth 1.7 WAR, Martin Maldonado 1.2 WAR, and Chirinos worth 0.7 WAR. So realistically, you kind of are breaking it down into Martin Maldonado and Jason Castro. Now, what these contracts are going to look like for these guys, not totally dissimilar here. I think Chirinos, more of like a, you're going to get him on a one-year deal, maybe sub $8 million, right around $6, $7 million. I think when it comes to Maldonado, you get him on a multi-year deal for lesser money, maybe $5 million, so maybe a $210. Castro, I think you get on a multi-year deal, maybe like a $212. You know, you add just a little bit extra there. But I think these are the three catchers when it comes to free agents that you're really looking at here. There is a catcher, though, on the trade market that has brought up quite a bit of questions here, and I'm actually, it's a trio of questions I think I can kind of package together. I'm going to start with this one from Angels Nation Talk, at talk underscore Angels, says, likelihood of trading for Wilson Contreras. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Wilson Contreras, which I'm sure you aren't if you're listening to this show, Wilson Contreras is a catcher for the Cubs, and he has been, over his career, looking back over the last 3-4 years, he's arguably, been the best offensive catcher in baseball, but you could also argue that he's been one of the worst defensive catchers in baseball. So with the Angels, the way they value defense, I'm not sure that Wilson Contreras really is going to be a guy that the Angels really focus in on. Now, I've changed my opinion here. I think I've said in the past that he would make a lot of sense when it comes to the Angels looking for improvement at the catching position. But looking at him now, just it's kind of purely offense, which the Angels can always use offense. But when it comes to catchers, now you have Max Stassi, who I know we've had this conversation before. He was absolutely terrible last year, but he's actually been a pretty average hitter, and he's a really good defender behind the plate. So you have Max Stassi as a backup, or you split him 50-50 with whoever you bring in. Wilson Contreras could be that bat that you kind of switch around with Max Stassi. And likelihood of trading for him, I'm going to say kind of minimal. I mean, so you figure there's probably, what, 10, 15 teams looking at the catching market right now. Angels may have a little bit of an edge. I'm going to say like a 1 in 12 chance here. And that's also you have to match up, which is kind of leading to this next question from Matt Sun at Matt HJ Sun. Says, what is a package for Wilson Contreras looking like? Now, Wilson Contreras is 27 years old. He is under contract, and I'm pulling it up, and I apologize. He's under contract for another 2 years here. So, yeah, he's going to be pretty costly. I think you're going to start that conversation with a 50-grade prospect, which the Angels only have a handful. You're not trading Joe Adele, who's better than a 50-grade prospect, but you're looking at maybe like maybe Jeremiah Jackson, Brandon Marsh, obviously, Jordan Adams. That's kind of where you're going to start this conversation. I know the Cubs actually really do like Jeremiah Jackson as a player, but I think that's where your conversation is going to start, and then you kind of have to add on top of that. Now, are the Angels comfortable with getting rid of Brandon Marsh? Not necessarily. We'll touch on that tomorrow more and a little bit here in the second segment, but I don't think the Angels are going to look at Wilson Contreras and look at the price unless you add in like a Yu Darvish, and that could be a way that you can kind of lessen the price by taking on that big contract to Yu Darvish while also adding to the back end of your rotation. But I think if you're going to start a trade package here for Wilson Contreras, I think it's going to start with a Jordan Adams, a Jeremiah Jackson, a Brandon Marsh, and then you move on from there. Which leads us to this next question that's very similar here from Wilson W. Thomas, at Wilson W. Thomas. It says, Brandon Marsh, Jamai Jones, Luis Ranjifo, and Trent DeVoe to the Cubs for Darvish and Wilson Contreras. Who says no? I think the Angels say no. I really do. I think that, yes, Darvish would help with the rotation. Contreras would help with your catching void. But like I said, his defense is not good. And you, Darvish, you don't really know what you're getting for a very large contract. And trading away Brandon Marsh as a headline of that trade, that's a pretty big deal. Luis Ranjifo, you got to remember, you know, the Angels did trade away Will Wilson earlier just a week ago, actually. But when you look at that, Will Wilson is only 17 months younger than Luis Ranjifo, who's a major league caliber player. Actually, he's going to, you know, he has a chance at being on the opening day roster. Trent DeVoe, he's a pretty good little prospect. He's got a little bit of speed, you know, the bat hasn't come around, but he can field. He has a chance to stay in the center. Jamai Jones, we all know very well about him, not giving up on him by any means. So would the Cubs make this trade? I think the Angels would actually be the ones that would say no on this one. I think they'd want a little bit lesser while taking on that contract from Yu Darvish. Now moving on here, we're going to talk about John Gray. Now if you're unfamiliar with John Gray, he's a pitcher for the Rockies who has hit the trade market. He was a third overall pick in the 2013 draft out of Oklahoma, and he'll be a free agent in 2 years, so you get two years worth of Jonathan Gray, and I say Jonathan because that's how I knew him in college, but John Gray, he's had a nice rebound year, actually had a 3.84 ERA last year in Colorado, a 135 ERA+, that coming after a pretty rough year the year before, where he had a 5.12 ERA. But when it comes to Jonathan Gray, you're kind of essentially looking at him in a very similar value to Andrew Heaney. Now, the difference, obviously, is that John Gray is a righty. Heaney's a lefty. It's a little bit different of an arsenal. But that's kind of the similar value of what you're looking for. So, once again, from Talk underscore Angels, likelihood of trading for John Gray. You know, the Angels are going to look to improve everywhere, and John Gray is definitely an improvement to the rotation. So, likelihood, you know, there's a chance. 1 in 10. I mean, everyone's looking for pitchers, of course, but the Angels are really going after it on the trade market. So, this is an option. Which kind of leads to the talk from Jay Park at J38131644. I can't believe I got that. Which also mixes with this question for Brandon at MLB and UFC Fan. They kind of ask the same question. This one from Jay says, can we trade Marsh for Gray? And this one from Brandon says, who does the Angels have to give up to acquire John Gray? And I think that Jay really hit it here. You start this conversation with Brandon Marsh, and then you go on from there. Now, does Brandon Marsh alone get that? I doubt it. I think that it's very similar to Wilson Contreras, where you're going to have to kind of look beyond just beyond Brandon Marsh and start adding other pieces. But I think that that's kind of where you're going to start here. And pending how the Rockies really do view John Gray, I think you're going to have to add another top five prospect like a Jeremiah Jackson or a Jordan Adams. You know, John Gray is viewed as a frontline rotation piece, and that's going to be very costly. But what it would do for the Angels is such a drastic turn when it comes to their pitching and the rotation. I think that looking at this and saying, you know, two top five prospects, that's a big hit on your farm system. But what it does for your team going into 2020 and 2021, I got to say, you know, John Gray is a real difference maker. He's pitched 150 innings last year, 172 the year before, 110 the year in 2017, 168 in 2016, career 4.46 ERA, but that's in Colorado. You know, this guy, he's pretty special, which leads to this question here from Polyus. He says, am I crazy to believe that John Gray is a potential trade target? John Gray used to have a big-time fastball but seems to be turning into a pitcher now. Now, it's surprising. John Gray's walk per nine actually rose last year to 3.4, but his hits per nine dropped. And, you know, sometimes this changes. When you think back to John Gray in college, I know, you know, some of you remember him, some of you don't. He was a big-time fastball guy. Big slider, curve fastball guy. That was kind of the thing. He's a power arm. He has really turned himself into a pitcher's pitcher. And even though you're seeing the walk percentage go up, John Gray has really transformed himself into a ground ball pitcher and is finding ways to get outs early in the count to be more pitch efficient, who still throws in the mid-90s. He's definitely still a power arm, an average fastball of 96 miles per hour. That hasn't changed over his career. And this is a guy that really does change a rotation. So, no, it's not crazy, Polyus. It's actually quite brilliant, if you ask me. So we have for today's show. Thank you to everyone for tuning in and asking questions. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. We're going to continue taking some of your questions about the trade market, what's left for the Angels to do this offseason, among other things. So make sure you stop by tomorrow. If you want to be a part of next week's show, make sure you follow us on Twitter at LockedOnAngels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. Watch for that tweet about 9 p.m. Pacific time on Sunday night saying, send me any and all your baseball questions. I'll answer them here through midnight, and best ones make the show on Tuesday. After you're done following us on Twitter, make sure you head over to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever podcasting platform that you use so you can download today's show, subscribe to Locked On Angels and not miss any content, and also make sure to rate us while you're doing so. Reminder that today's show is brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friends trip. Book your own through Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Thanks again for tuning in. Don't forget to check us out tomorrow for Locked On Angels. I'm Taylor Blake Ward saying stay nasty, Anaheim. We'll see you tomorrow.